Could you write that down?
¿Pudiera escribir eso?
He's the object of their worship.
Él es el objeto de su alabanza.
So much so that they said, the voice of a God, not of a man.
De tal manera que ellos dijeron, voz de hombre.
Voz de Dios.
Voz de Dios, no de hombre.
What was the one who was being worshipped? What was his response?
¿Cuál era aquel que estaba siendo adorado? ¿Cuál fue su respuesta?
What was Herod's response to this worship?
¿Cuál fue la respuesta de Herodes a esta adoración?
Immediately, he took the glory for himself.
En el mismo momento, él tomó la gloria para sí mismo.
The scripture is clear.
La escritura está claro.
What was the end result of him taking the glory for himself?
¿Y cuál fue el resultado de haber él tomado la gloria para sí mismo?
Struck dead by the Lord.
Expiró muerto por el Señor.
And worms ate his body.
Y los gusanos comieron su cuerpo.
Acts chapter 14.
Hechos capítulo 14.
Did you read these passages, brethren?
¿Leyeron ustedes estos pasajes, hermanos?
There was another group of people in verse 8.
Hubo otra clase de persona en el versículo 8.
And it was from verses 8 all the way through 18 that you can read these verses.
Y es desde el versículo 8 hasta el 18 que pueden leer estos versículos.
God's servants had gone to the people of Lystra.
Los siervos de Dios habían ido al pueblo de Listra.
To go speak of the God of gods, the Lord of lords.
Para hablar del Dios de dioses, del Señor de señores.
It was Paul and Barnabas.
Y estos fueron Pablo y Bernabé.
But Lystra was known as an idolatrous people.
Pero Listra era conocido como un pueblo idólatra.
And when Paul and Barnabas came and exposed the gospel,
y cuando Pablo y Bernabé vinieron y expusieron el evangelio,
and there were miracles in that place,
y acontecieron milagros en ese lugar,
look what happened in verse 11.
Mire lo que sucedió en el versículo 11.
What happened to those people?
¿Qué le sucedió a este pueblo?
When they saw that what Paul had done,
cuando vieron lo que Pablo había hecho,
what did they do?
¿Qué fue lo que ellos hicieron?
They pointed to Paul and Barnabas as the ones who were worthy.
Ellos señalaron a Pablo y a Bernabé como si ellos eran dignos.
Brethren, what was the end result of this?
¿Y cuál fue el resultado de todo esto?
Did you notice what happened?
¿Ustedes notaron lo que sucedió?
The end result of this passage was that the multitudes became angry.
El resultado de esto fue que la multitud se pusieron bravos.
And they began to stone Paul.
Y comenzaron a apedrear a Pablo.
The same one that they were trying to worship, they began to stone
aquel
him.
Aquel mismo que ellos trataban de adorar, comenzaron a apedrearlo.
Amazing.
Interesante.
Giving the glory to the wrong one.
Dando la gloria al equivocado.
And the Lord putting their heart right in order.
Y el Señor poniendo sus corazones en el orden debido.
Go with Acts chapter 10.
Mire en Hechos capítulo 10.
Truly it was not Paul's heart who was lifted up in Acts chapter 14.
En el 14 no fue el corazón de Pablo que fue levantado.
It was the people's heart that was wrong.
Era el corazón de ese pueblo que estaba equivocado.
But God dealt with their heart.
Pero Dios trató con sus corazones.
What happened in Acts chapter 10?
¿Qué pasó en Hechos capítulo 10?
This I would like to read with you.
Este me gustaría leerlo con ustedes.
Look what it says in chapter 10 and verse 24.
Miren lo que dice en el capítulo 10, versículo 24.
Do you remember the vision that God showed to Paul, to Peter?
¿Se recuerda la visión que Dios le dio a Pedro?
He told Peter to go someplace.
Le dijo a Pedro que fuera a algún lugar.
He told him to go to Cornelius.
Le dijo que fuera a Cornelio.
Verse 24.
Versículo 24.
And the following day they entered Caesarea.
Y al otro día entraron a Cesarea.
Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends.
Y Cornelio los estaba esperando, habiendo convocado a sus parientes y amigos más íntimos.
As Peter was coming in,
cuando Pedro entró,
who was being worshipped?
¿Quién estaba siendo adorado?
Cornelius went and worshipped.
Cornelio fue y se postró.
What happened in verse 26?
¿Y qué sucedió en el versículo 26?
You see, back in Acts chapter 14, when the people of Lystra came and worshipped Paul and Barnabas.
Como ustedes ven en el capítulo 14, cuando el pueblo de Listra vino y adoró a Pablo y a Bernabé.
Do you know what Paul and Barnabas did?
¿Sabe lo que hicieron Pablo y Bernabé?
They ran through the multitude.
Ellos corrieron a través de la multitud.
Stop what you're doing. Stop it.
Paren lo que están haciendo. Paren.
It's not us. We didn't do the miracle.
No somos nosotros. No hicimos los milagros.
It's the Lord.
Es el Señor.
The people became so angry.
Y el pueblo se puso tan enojado.
That they began to stone them.
Que comenzaron a apedrearlos.
Worshipping them and then stoning them.
Primero adorándolo y después apedreando.
Their heart was wrong before God.
Sus corazones estaban mal delante.
They couldn't understand. They couldn't see.
No podían entender, no podían ver.
What happened when Peter told Cornelius, "Stop worshiping me"?
¿Qué sucedió cuando Pedro le dijo a Cornelio, "Para de adorarme a mí"?
Do you see what it says in verse 26?
¿Ven lo que dice en el versículo 26?
What did Peter tell him?
¿Qué fue lo que le dijo Pedro?
Stand up!
Levántate.
I myself am a man.
Pues yo mismo también soy hombre.
As though to say, who are you worshiping?
Como diciendo, ¿a quién tú adoras?
Who do you have your eyes on?
¿En quién tienes tus ojos puestos?
What was the end result?
¿Y cuál fue el resultado?
If you go to the end of this chapter,
si usted va al final de este capítulo,
Cornelius's eyes were opened.
Los ojos de Cornelio fueron abiertos.
And he and his family believed.
Y él y su familia creyeron.
And were baptized.
Y fueron bautizados.
And not only,
y no tan solamente,
but they received the infilling of the Holy
Spirit. Pero
ellos
recibieron el bautismo del Espíritu Santo, la llenura del Espíritu Santo.
Brethren, when we understand,
y hermanos, cuando entendemos,
that only He is worthy of worship,
que solo Él es digno de alabanza,
and I believe that the Lord allows things to happen in our lives,
y yo creo que el Señor permite cosas que suceden en nuestras vidas,
I believe that He allows for our eyes,
yo creo que él permite que nuestros ojos,
even to see the things in this world,
aún de ver las cosas en este mundo,
relationships that we have,
relaciones que tenemos,
ideals that we have,
ideales que tenemos,
ideas that we have,
ideas que tenemos,
and these things happen,
y estas cosas suceden,
so that our eyes would then be lifted on to Him who is worthy,
para que nuestros ojos sean levantados a Él, quien es digno de ser
adorado. He is forming a people who will worship Him.
Él está formando un pueblo que le habrá de adorar.
In spirit and in truth.
En espíritu y en verdad.
He does not need the sacrifices.
Él no necesita los sacrificios.
He does not want the songs.
Él no quiere los cantos.
He does not want the Bible studies.
Él no quiere los estudios bíblicos.
He desires that our heart would worship Him.
Él desea que nuestros corazones le adoren a Él.
May it be.
Que pueda ser.
If it's possible that I get the clicker.
Es posible que yo. El clicker.
Okay. We're in the book of Acts.
Estamos en el libro de los Hechos.
I didn't realize that we were having a delay.
No estaba consciente de que teníamos una tardanza.
But let us shoot ahead if we can.
Pero vamos a ir hacia adelante si podemos.
In the book of Acts, would you turn to chapter 1, brethren?
En el libro de los Hechos, busquen el capítulo 1.
Let's get some important facts out of the way.
Vamos a sacar algunos hechos importantes.
Acts was written.
Los hechos fueron escritos.
Around.
Acerca.
Can anybody? Does anybody know? What date do you believe that Acts was written?
¿Cuándo, en qué fecha ustedes creen que fue escrito en los hechos?
Right, around 60 AD.
Alrededor del año 68.
People say 62,
64, 65.
Around 60 AD.
Alrededor del año 68.
After, 60 years after Christ.
60 años después de Cristo.
It covers about 30 years of history.
Cubre 30 años, como 30 años de historia.
Well, let's put that within perspective.
Vamos a poner esto en perspectiva.
From the day of Pentecost,
desde el día de Pentecostés,
to the time that Paul was in his final incarceration in Rome.
Hasta la última, el último encarcelamiento de Pablo en Roma.
That is the history which Acts embarks.
Esa es la historia que nos da los hechos.
However, if you go back to, I'm beginning in chapter 2 with what I'm saying here.
Yo estoy comenzando en el capítulo 2 de lo que estoy diciendo aquí.
Because the day of Pentecost is recorded for us in chapter 2.
Porque el día de Pentecostés está registrado para nosotros en el capítulo 2.
But what happened in chapter 1?
Pero ¿qué sucedió en el capítulo 1?
Does anybody remember?
¿Se recuerda a alguien?
There is a history that is recorded for us and repeated for something that had happened in the Gospels.
Hay una historia que se nos está registrada y se nos repite de algo que fue escrito en los evangelios.
You see, if you go to Luke chapter, Acts chapter 1 and in verse 1,
si ustedes miran en Hechos capítulo 1, versículo 1,
you will remember that when we studied the book of Luke,
¿se recuerdan que cuando estudiamos el libro de Lucas,
the Gospel according to Luke,
el Evangelio según Lucas.
We noted at that time that Luke was a Greek physician.
Notamos en aquella vez que Lucas era un médico griego.
He is the only non-Jewish writer of the New Testament.
Él es el único escritor que no es judío en la Escritura.
You know how important that is?
¿Y usted sabe cuán importante es eso?
That Luke is the only non-Jewish writer of the whole New Testament.
Que Lucas es el único escritor que no es judío en toda la Antiguo Testamento.
The reason that that's so important?
Y la razón por la cual es tan importante.
Because Acts is the history.
Es porque Hechos es la historia.
Of how salvation was opened up.
De cómo la salvación fue abierta.
Not only to the Jew.
No tan solamente para los judíos,
but to the Gentile as
pero
well.
A los gentiles.
To all men.
A toda la humanidad.
Somehow the disciples,
de cierta manera los discípulos,
even though Jesus himself had said it,
aunque Jesús mismo lo dijo,
for God so loved the world,
porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo,
that he gave his only begotten son,
que él dio a su hijo unigénito,
that whoever would believe in
para
him,
todo aquel que cree en él,
would not perish but have everlasting
no
life.
Perezca, sino que tenga vida eterna.
If you go back in your Bible,
si usted regresa en su Biblia,
to John 3:16,
a Juan 3:16,
those are words that are in red.
Esas son las palabras que están en rojo.
We thought it like it's just like a history passage.
Nosotros lo repetimos como si fuera un pasaje histórico.
Christ himself said those passages.
Cristo
that, those
mismo
words.
Dijo esas palabras.
How significant.
¿Y cuán significativo es esto?
Luke penned both Luke and Acts.
Lucas escribió y ambos, Lucas y Hechos.
Luke was a faithful companion to Paul.
Lucas era un compañero fiel a Pablo.
In the book of Acts,
en el libro de los Hechos,
there are four specific sections.
Hay cuatro secciones específicas.
That the pronoun changes.
Que el pronombre cambia.
It's not talking about others.
No está hablando acerca de otros.
All of a sudden you see the pronoun we.
De pronto usted ve el pronombre nosotros.
Because Paul is including himself in the history.
Porque Pablo se está incluyendo a sí mismo en la historia.
See, parts of Acts you read about them, them, them.
Usted lee acerca de ellos, ellos, ellos.
But in these four sections that are on your outline,
pero en estas cuatro secciones que están en su bosquejo,
chapter 16,
capítulo 16,
chapter 20,
capítulo 20,
chapter 21,
capítulo 21,
chapter 27,
capítulo 27.
These are chapters that speak of Luke being involved in that history.
Estos son capítulos que están envueltos en la historia.
Brother, and I don't know about you.
Hermano, yo no sé acerca de usted.
But I want to be a participant.
Pero yo quiero ser una participante.
I don't want to be a spectator.
Yo no quiero ser un espectador.
I don't want to be from the outside looking into the story.
Yo no quiero estar afuera mirando adentro.
There's nothing more agonizing to me.
No hay más agonizante para mí.
When I go to Disney World.
Cuando yo voy a Disney World.
And I see all of the lights and all of the Cinderellas and everything.
Y yo veo todas las luces, las Cinderellas y todas estas cosas.
And I see all of the pretend.
Y yo veo todo lo que es pretend.
And the make believe.
Y el de hacer creer.
And all the imagination.
Y todas las imaginaciones.
And then I walk away frustrated.
Y yo salgo de allí frustrada.
Because that's not real.
Porque eso no es real.
It's just a story.
Es solamente una historia.
Luke found himself in the story.
Pero Lucas se halló a sí mismo en la historia.
Luke found himself as part of what the Lord was writing.
Lucas se hallaba a sí mismo siendo parte de lo que estaba escribiendo.
And how sad it is when there are believers who are outside of the story.
Y cuán triste es cuando hay creyentes que están fuera.
Another way of saying this.
De otra manera decir esto.
They hear.
Oyen.
But they don't understand.
Pero no entienden.
They see.
Ellos ven.
But they don't capture.
Pero no lo captan.
And how true it is that even within,
y cuán verdadero es eso, que aún dentro,
there are so many who don't participate in what the Lord has for us.
Hay tantos que no participan en lo que el Señor tiene para nosotros.
I know what that's like.
Y yo sé lo que es esto.
And I know where Paul said that you would not just be a spectator.
Y yo sé lo que Pablo dijo, que no sean espectadores.
But that you would be a participant.
Pero que sean participantes.
That you would run the race to win.
Que usted corre la carrera para ganar.
Luke understood this.
Y Lucas entendió esto.
Would you read with me Acts chapter 1 and verse 1?
Si leen conmigo en Hechos capítulo 1, versículo 1.
The former account I made.
En el primer tratado.
What was the former account?
¿Y cuál fue el primer tratado?
The book of Luke.
El libro de Lucas.
O Theophilus.
O Teófilo.
Of all that Jesus began to do and teach.
Hablé acerca de todas las cosas que Jesús comenzó a hacer y a enseñar.
Now that was the gospel of Luke.
Ese fue el evangelio de Lucas.
But now as we look at the title of this book.
Pero ahora, al mirar el título de este libro.
What does your Bible say?
¿Qué dice tu Biblia?
As far as the title of this book.
En cuanto al título de este libro.
Isn't that's what mine says too.
Eso es lo que dice mi Biblia también.
But right next to that title, I have a big question mark.
Pero al lado de ese título, yo tengo un signo grande de interrogación.
And I myself have written that question mark.
Y yo misma he hecho esa pregunta.
Because if in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1,
porque si en Hechos capítulo 1 versículo 1,
Luke was focusing on the acts of Jesus Christ.
Lucas estaba enfocando los actos de Jesucristo.
And go with me to Acts chapter 19.
Y mire conmigo en Hechos capítulo 19.
And look in verse 11.
Y mira en el versículo 11.
Whose acts are they talking about there?
¿De quiénes son los hechos de que se está hablando ahí?
I see two people that are working.
Yo veo dos personas que están trabajando.
So it seems.
Parecía.
So it seems.
Así parecía.
But there's only one who has the power.
Pero solamente hay uno que tiene el poder.
One has the power and the other one is merely an instrument.
Uno que tiene el poder y el otro solamente es un instrumento.
Luke, at Acts chapter 19 and in verse 11.
En capítulo 19 de Lucas y versículo 11.
Now God worked. 19:11.
Y hacía Dios.
Who worked?
¿Quién obró?
The apostles.
¿Los apóstoles? No.
Now God worked.
Y hacía Dios
unusual miracles.
Milagros extraordinarios.
How?
¿Cómo?
By the hands of Paul.
Por mano de Pablo.
But he was only an instrument.
Pero solamente él era un instrumento.
He was only a means.
Él solamente era un medio.
Whose acts are we speaking of?
De los actos de quién estamos hablando?
Brethren, throughout the book of Acts.
Y hermanos, a través del libro de los Hechos.
You will see.
Van a ver.
That from the time that Jesus ascended into heaven.
Desde el momento que Jesús ascendió a los cielos.
He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit.
Y dijo, les voy a enviar el Espíritu Santo.
And the Holy Spirit's power will be in you.
Y el poder del Espíritu Santo estará en ti.
The entire book of Acts.
El libro completo de los Hechos.
Records how it was that the Holy Spirit directed the apostles.
Registra cómo fue que el Espíritu Santo dirigió a los apóstoles.
It's an indispensable role that is in the book of Acts. An indispensable role.
Es un papel indispensable en el libro de los Hechos.
Acts talks to us about the power of the Holy Spirit.
Los Hechos nos hablan del poder del Espíritu Santo.
47 times.
47 veces.
The Holy Spirit is shown to be in power in the book of Acts.
El Espíritu Santo se muestra estar en poder en el libro de los Hechos.
47 times.
47 veces.
Now, if you read the book of Acts,
si usted lee el libro de los Hechos,
you will see that it is filled with locations.
Usted va a ver que está lleno de localidades.
Filled with people's names.
Llenos de nombres de personas.
Just filled with it.
Lleno de ellos.
But nothing stands out more than the power of the Holy Spirit.
Pero nada sobresale más que el poder del Espíritu Santo.
You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says it like this.
Primero de Corintios capítulo 6 versículo 19 dice.
What?
¿Qué?
Don't you know that but your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
¿No sabéis que tu cuerpo es el templo del Espíritu Santo?
Who, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was writing these words?
Quien por inspiración del Espíritu Santo estaba escribiendo esta palabra.
Do you remember?
¿Se recuerdan?
Who wrote the book of 1 Corinthians?
¿Quién escribió el libro de Pablo?
As though he's running through the Corinthian church.
Como si él estuviera corriendo a través de la iglesia de Corinto.
The same way that he ran through Lystra.
Lo mismo que él hizo corriendo a través de Lystra.
And he said, "Don't you get it?"
Y le decía, pero no lo acaba de entender.
Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Su cuerpo es el templo del Espíritu Santo.
And you are not your own.
Y no se pertenecéis a sí mismo.
Just like I am not my own.
Como tampoco yo me pertenezco a mí mismo.
I'm merely a channel.
Soy solamente un canal.
You see, it's all about His direction.
Y como ve, todo tiene que ver con su dirección.
It's all about His guidance.
Todo tiene que ver con su guianza.
What He says, what He allows.
Lo que Él dice, lo que Él permite.
The beautiful part of the book of Acts.
La parte hermosa del libro de los Hechos.
Did you notice that the Holy Spirit is right in the driver's seat?
Notó que el Espíritu Santo está en el mismo asiento del que maneja.
He's the one who's in the driver's seat.
Él es aquel que está frente al timón.
Paul, for example, is along for the ride.
Por ejemplo, Pablo estaba ahí junto yendo por el viaje.
Paul doesn't have a bumper sticker that says God is my co-pilot.
Pablo no tiene el bumper sticker que dice Dios es mi copiloto.
Paul is along for the ride.
Pablo va en ese viaje.
Paul said, I want to go to you, but I can't.
Pablo es el que dijo, quiero ir a ti, pero no puedo.
The Holy Spirit is forbidding me to go.
El Santo Espíritu Santo no me lo permite.
I'm praying and I desire to go.
Estoy orando y deseo ir.
All in His time.
Todo en su tiempo.
You see, to be a vessel of the Lord.
Para ser un vaso del Señor.
And say, Lord, I'm merely in your hands.
Y decir, solamente estoy en tus manos.
My life is not my own.
Mi vida no es mía.
It's not about me.
No es acerca de mí.
Yours is the power.
Tuyo es el poder.
You see, it's all about His empowering.
Todo tiene que ver de su poder.
And you shall receive power.
Y recibiréis poder.
Would you go with me to Acts chapter 1 once again?
Si miran conmigo en Hechos capítulo 1 de nuevo.
I wonder if we noted something so special in the first chapter.
Me pregunto si notamos algo que es tan especial en el primer capítulo.
Here's the context.
Y aquí está el contexto.
Jesus had been crucified.
Cristo ya había sido crucificado.
He had been buried.
Había sido sepultado.
And he had resurrected.
Y había resucitado.
And he had spent with his disciples.
Y había pasado con sus discípulos.
40 days.
40 días.
After his resurrection.
Después de su resurrección.
That's amazing.
Y eso es tremendísimo.
He manifested himself to his disciples.
Él se manifestó a sus discípulos.
He showed them.
Les mostró a ellos.
And it says at the end of verse 3.
Y al fin del versículo 3 dice.
What did he speak to his disciples about?
¿De qué le habló él a sus discípulos?
Did he talk to them about the pain of the cross?
¿Le habló él acerca del dolor de la cruz?
Did he talk to them about what happened in those 3 days that he was dead?
¿Le habló ellos acerca de esos 3 días cuando él estaba muerto?
Did he speak to Peter about the way he denied him?
¿Le habló a Pedro acerca de cómo él le negó?
Did he speak about how Judas had sold him?
¿Habló él de cómo fue que Judas lo vendió?
Did he speak about how evil the generation was that put the crown of thorns on his head?
¿Le habló ellos acerca de esa generación tan maligna que pusieron la corona de espinas sobre su cabeza?
See, to me that's all important.
Para mí, eso todo es importante.
And if I had been with Christ during those 40 days,
si yo hubiese estado con Cristo durante esos 40 días,
I would have so many questions.
Yo hubiese tenido tantas preguntas.
But the Lord had an agenda of his own.
Pero el Señor tenía una agenda de sí mismo.
It said that he spoke to them.
Dice que le habló a ellos.
Not about his suffering.
No le habló acerca de sus sufrimientos.
He spoke to them about the things of the kingdom of God.
Pero le habló a ellos acerca del reino de Dios.
That's huge.
Y eso es grandísimo.
That better be for you and I to underline, to highlight.
Para mí tenemos que subrayarlo eso.
Because that was the focus of our Lord.
Porque ese era el enfoque de nuestro Señor.
The kingdom of God.
El reino de Dios.
But something happened.
Pero algo aconteció.
Look at verse 4.
Miren el versículo 4.
When they were assembled together,
y estando juntos,
the Lord Jesus was in their midst.
El Señor estaba en medio de ellos.
And he began to speak to them about the impartation of the Holy Spirit that they had to wait for.
Y él empezó a hablar acerca de la impartición del Espíritu Santo que ellos tenían que esperar.
Look in verse 4.
Y miren el versículo 4.
Perhaps you want to underline the word that says this.
Quizás usted quiera subrayar la palabra que dice así.
Wait.
Espera.
Believers are called to wait on the Lord.
Los creyentes somos llamados a esperar en el Señor.
Look at verse 8.
Miren el versículo 8.
As we wait on the Lord,
cuando esperamos en el Señor,
He will send His Holy Spirit.
Él habrá de enviar su Espíritu Santo.
And we are called to receive.
Y somos llamados a recibir.
Look in chapter 2.
Miren el capítulo 2.
And in verse 4.
Y en el versículo 4.
When we wait on the Lord.
Cuando esperamos en el Señor.
And when we see that He is imparting Himself to us.
Y cuando vemos que Él se está impartiendo a sí mismo en nosotros.
We are called to be filled.
Somos llamados a ser llenos.
Filled.
Llenos.
But something happened with these disciples.
Pero algo aconteció con estos discípulos.
In verse 6 of chapter 1.
en el versículo 6 del capítulo 1.
Can I encourage you to draw a line from one verse to another verse in your Bible?
Quisiera pedirles que pudieran, si quieren, pasar una línea de un versículo al otro.
I know we don't like to mess things up. I understand.
Yo entiendo que ustedes no quieren.
But some verses are so important to link.
Pero hay algunos versículos que están importantes para unir.
The last words of chapter 3.
La última palabra del capítulo 3.
Say the focus of what our Heavenly Father in Christ was.
Dice el enfoque de lo que nuestro Padre dijo que
es. The kingdom of God.
El reino de Dios.
But now look in verse 6.
Pero ahora en el versículo 6.
Capítulo 1. Capítulo 1. And in verse 3, I'm sorry. Chapter 1 and verse 3.
Capítulo 1, versículo 6.
Speaks of what it was that was Christ's emphasis.
Habla de lo que era el énfasis de Cristo.
The kingdom of God.
El reino de Dios.
What was the focus of the disciples?
¿Y cuál era el enfoque de los discípulos?
They weren't waiting.
Ellos no estaban esperando.
They weren't receiving.
Ni estaban recibiendo.
They weren't ready to be filled.
No estaban listos para ser llenos.
They still had one focus.
Ellos todavía seguían con un solo enfoque.
Look at it in verse 6.
Mírelo en el versículo 6.
Do you see what the focus is?
¿Ven el enfoque cuál es?
It's not the kingdom of God.
No es el reino de Dios.
It's my kingdom.
Es mi reino.
It's where I'm at.
Es donde yo estoy.
It's what I need.
Es lo que yo necesito.
It's what my agenda is.
Es lo que es mi agenda.
It's what I think is important.
Es lo que yo creo que es importante.
Brethren, the disciples who walked with Christ.
Y hermanos, los discípulos que anduvieron con Cristo.
The ones who saw his miracle and heard his word.
Que vieron su milagro y oyeron su palabra.
And they still didn't get it.
Y ni siquiera todavía lo entendían.
That makes me really reflect and say, Lord, do I get it?
Y eso me hace reflexionar y decir, Señor, ¿lo entiendo?
Am I understanding this?
¿Lo estoy entendiendo?
Or am I just speaking the good speak of the kingdom of God?
O estoy hablando acerca de el buen reino de
because
Dios.
I know the words because I have it on a book for
porque
me.
Porque yo conozco la palabra porque lo tengo en un libro.
But my heart is just not there.
Pero mi corazón no está ahí.
They desired the kingdom of Israel.
Ellos deseaban el reino de Israel.
Perhaps you want to draw a line to link those two passages.
Quizá usted quiera trazar una línea para unir esos dos pasajes.
Something happened in Acts chapter 19.
Algo sucedió en Hechos capítulo 19.
Wait.
Esperar.
Receive.
Recibe.
And be filled.
Y ser lleno.
The disciples, the believers should get this.
En los discípulos, el creyente debe de entender esto.
They should understand that the scripture says, therefore do not be unwise.
Deben de saber que la escritura dice que no seáis insensatos.
Don't be filled with wine.
No seáis llenos de vino.
But understand what is the will of God for your life.
Entender cuál es la voluntad de Dios para nuestras vidas.
What is the will of God for our life, brother?
¿Y cuál es la voluntad de Dios para nuestras vidas, hermanos? Se lleno.
That's his will.
Esa es su voluntad.
To be filled.
Que seamos de ser llenos.
The beautiful part of Ephesians chapter 5.
La parte tan hermosa de Efesios capítulo 5.
Is that word be filled?
Que esa palabra donde dice ser lleno.
It's a verb that is continual.
Es un verbo que es de continuo.
It's not a one-time act.
No es un hecho de una vez.
And as you read the book of Acts, you're seeing that there's a continual infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Y al leer el libro de los Hechos, usted ve que hay una continuidad de esa llenura del Espíritu.
Not because the Holy Spirit vaporizes.
No porque el Espíritu Santo se vaporiza.
Not because the Holy Spirit runs out so he has to come back again.
Ni porque se acabe y él tiene que regresar otra vez.
But because as the Lord deals in our life.
Porque al Señor, tratar con nuestra vida.
He extends the borders of our hearts.
Él extiende los bordes de nuestro corazón.
That we would be filled and filled and filled and filled with His Spirit.
Llenos con su Espíritu.
That is the will of God.
Esa es la voluntad de Dios.
You speak to a drunk.
Usted le habla a un borracho.
And when he just began his drinking,
y cuando él comienza con su beber,
just a few drops would make him.
Unas cuantas goticas.
But no, as he continued,
pero al él continuar,
he was able to drink more and more and more and more.
Él podía tomar más y más y más.
And I wonder about you and I.
Me pregunto acerca de usted y de mí.
I wonder how desirous we are for the Holy Spirit.
Me pregunto cuán deseosos estamos por el Espíritu Santo.
Don't be filled with wine in which there is excess.
No os embriagáis con vino en la cual hay disolución.
But be filled with the Spirit.
Pero sed llenos del Espíritu.
Be filled.
Sed llenos.
Chapter 19 and verse 1.
Capítulo 19, versículo 1.
Apollos, who was a servant of the Lord, went to Corinth.
Apolo, quien era un siervo del Señor, fue a Corinto.
And you know about the brethren in Corinth.
Y ustedes conocen acerca de los hermanos en Corinto.
We'll get to 1 and 2 Corinthians soon.
Vamos a llegar pronto a 1 y 2 de Corintios.
But Paul went to the upper regions and went to Ephesus.
Pero Pablo fue a las otras regiones superiores y vino a Éfeso.
And look what it says.
Y miren lo que dice.
He found somebody.
Él dice, y hallando a cierto alguien.
He found a group of disciples.
Él halló un grupo de discípulos.
Disciples means followers.
Discípulos quiere decir seguidores.
Believers.
Creyentes.
Those whose eyes and hearts were open to the message of the gospel.
Aquellos cuyos ojos y corazones estaban abiertos al mensaje del evangelio.
You and I.
Usted y yo.
Believers by God's grace.
Creyentes por la gracia de Dios.
But look what it says.
Pero mira lo que dice.
And finding some, he said to them in verse 2.
En el versículo 2, y les dijo,
did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?
¿Recibiste el Espíritu Santo cuando creíste?
Their response.
¿Y la respuesta de ellos?
Absolutely shakes me.
Totalmente me estremece.
We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.
Ni siquiera hemos oído si hay Espíritu Santo.
What?
¿Qué?
How could that be?
¿Cómo puede ser esto?
When that was the message of our Lord Jesus.
Cuando ese fue el mensaje del Señor Jesús.
That you should wait.
Que usted esperase.
That you should receive.
Que usted recibiera.
And that you should be filled.
Y que sería lleno.
We don't even know who the Holy Spirit is.
Ni siquiera sabemos quién es el Espíritu Santo.
We don't know what you're talking about.
No sabemos de qué tú estás hablando.
I wonder how many believers there are.
Me pregunto cuántos creyentes hay.
Who would be honest and open enough to say, I don't even know what it means.
Es que son honestos y abiertos para decir, ni siquiera yo sé qué quiere decir.
To be filled with the Holy Spirit.
De ser llenos del Espíritu Santo.
Because brethren,
that Sister Gloria is sharing that when this word was ministered, when I received the first part that somebody spoke to me about the Lord, they asked me the same question. And I wanted that. But I did not know. And at that moment,
amen.
And because my heart was
amen.
Open to the Lord, I received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and I say it with certainty, I received it. And I identify myself with these brethren.
Praise the Lord. That the reality of the Holy Spirit has been so true to your life that you can say that with conviction.
La realidad del Espíritu Santo ha sido tan real a tu vida que puedes decir eso con convicción.
I wonder how many lives there are.
Pero me preguntas cuántas vidas hay.
Who go through their
que van a través de su
believing walk with the Lord.
Su caminar con el Señor.
And they don't know what the Holy Spirit is.
Y él, no conocen quién es el Espíritu Santo.
In fact, if you mention the Holy Spirit,
y como de hecho, si menciona el Espíritu Santo,
well, let's talk about Jesus, shall
bueno,
we?
Vamos a hablar de Jesús.
Because it makes us uncomfortable.
Porque los hace estar inquietos.
Because the one who's in the driver's seat is not us.
Porque el que está en el timón no somos nosotros.
It's the Holy Spirit himself.
Es el Espíritu Santo mismo.
You see, if the church was filled the same way that the church in these days was filled with the Holy Spirit,
si la iglesia estuviese llena, como dice aquí, que la iglesia en aquel tiempo estaba llena del Espíritu.
If our lives were filled the way that these lives were filled with the Holy Spirit,
si nuestras vidas estuviesen llenas como estas vidas estuvieron llenas del Espíritu Santo.
I'm not talking about a church filled up with laughter.
Yo no estoy hablando de una iglesia que está llena de risas.
I'm not talking about a church filled up with people all over the floor.
No estoy hablando de una iglesia que están con las personas toda tirada por el piso.
I'm not talking about a church filled with noise.
No estoy hablando de una iglesia llena de ruidos.
I'm not talking about a church jumping up and down, going.
No estoy hablando de una iglesia que está saltando para arriba y para abajo.
I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit.
Pero estoy hablando acerca del poder del Espíritu Santo.
Where it has nothing to do with you and me.
Que no tiene que ver nada con usted y conmigo.
But it has everything to do with His kingdom.
Pero tiene que todo que ver con su reino.
You see, when you talk about the Feast of Pentecost.
Cuando usted habla acerca de la fiesta de Pentecostés.
Go with me to Acts chapter 2.
Mire conmigo en Hechos capítulo 2.
The filling of the Holy Spirit is not an emotion.
La llenura del Espíritu Santo no es una emoción.
The filling of the Holy Spirit is spiritual.
La llenura del Espíritu Santo es espiritual.
You see, the day of Pentecost.
En el día de Pentecostés.
Let me give you some history.
Déjame darle cierta historia.
In context to this.
En contexto con esto.
I know you know this. I know we know this.
Yo sé que ustedes lo saben. Yo sé que nosotros lo sabemos.
But sometimes we forget.
Pero algunas veces se nos olvida.
That it only happened 50 days after the Passover.
Que solamente sucedió 50 días después de la Pascua.
What happened during the Passover?
¿Qué sucedió durante la Pascua?
That same Passover.
Esa misma Pascua.
The Passover happened every year.
La Pascua sucedía todos los años.
Every single year there was the Feast of Pentecost 50 days later.
Cada año estaba la fiesta de Pentecostés 50 días después.
Read about it in the Old Testament.
Léanlo en el Antiguo Testamento.
Study the Jewish history. Study their feasts.
Estudien sus fiestas.
Every single year there was a Passover. Every single year, 50 days later, there was the day of Pentecost.
Cada 50 días después de la Pascua tenía la fiesta de los.
But at this specific feast of Pentecost,
pero en esta fiesta específica de Pentecostés,
it happened 50 days before.
Sucedió 50 días antes.
That the death of our Lord Jesus.
De la muerte de nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
That Passover was different.
Esa Pascua fue diferente.
Now you do see the word feast of Pentecost.
Y ustedes ven la palabra fiesta de Pentecostés.
That was a celebration.
Eso era una celebración.
So here's the series of events. Here's the series of events.
Y aquí está la serie de los eventos.
Christ had died.
Cristo había muerto.
Been buried.
Había sido sepultado.
Resurrected.
Resucitado.
That was the Passover.
Esa era la Pascua.
He was with us for 40 days.
Él estuvo con nosotros por 40 días.
He then ascended into heaven.
Entonces ascendió a los cielos.
And he said, wait.
Y dijo, espera.
For the impartation of the Holy Spirit.
Para la impartición del Espíritu Santo.
10 days had passed.
10 días pasaron.
I don't know what your patience level is, but 10 days is a long time.
Yo no sé cuál es el nivel de su paciencia, pero 10 días es bastante.
The Lord Jesus had ascended and said, wait.
El Señor Jesús había ascendido y había dicho, esperar.
Have you ever prayed?
¿Alguna vez usted ha orado?
And the Lord just speaks to your life that you need to wait.
Y el Señor le habla su vida que usted necesita esperar.
You're asking the Lord for guidance on something and the Lord just tells you to wait.
Le está pidiendo al Señor para algo, el Señor le está diciendo a uno que espere.
So as you receive that word, you say amen.
Y al usted recibir esa palabra, usted dice amén.
And you stay in that presence of the Lord and amen.
Y usted se queda en la presencia del Señor y amén.
But as soon as you open your eyes,
pero tan pronto que usted abre sus ojos,
the weight of that decision comes right back on you again.
El peso de esa decisión viene sobre
and you're ready to start acting.
Y usted está listo para comenzar a actuar.
Until you come back into the presence of the Lord.
Hasta que usted regrese a la presencia del Señor.
You know what happened during these 10 days?
¿Sabe lo que sucedió en estos 10 días?
A lot of preparation was going on.
Mucha preparación estaba llevándose a cabo.
So much so.
De tal manera.
That this was a time in which
que esto fue un tiempo,
many nations gathered together.
Durante ese tiempo que muchas naciones se reunían.
You have a map on your outline.
Usted tiene un mapa en su bosquejo, en su estudio, en guía.
It looks like this.
Y es así.
Would you do me a favor and just highlight or circle the word Jerusalem?
Si usted hiciera un favor y pusiera un circulito o subraye la palabra Jerusalén.
I've done it on the screen for you, Jerusalem.
Yo lo hice aquí en la pantalla por ustedes.
I just put a little bit of highlight.
Puse un poquito de.
Press the button one more time. There you go. There's Jerusalem.
Ahí está Jerusalén.
Jerusalem is tiny.
Jerusalén está es pequeña.
According to the map, insignificant.
Y de acuerdo al mapa es insignificativo.
But that is where all the nations came to worship.
Pero ahí era donde todas las naciones vinieron para adorar.
That is where all the nations came for this celebration.
Ahí es donde vinieron todas las naciones para esta celebración.
This is what it looked like, brethren.
Y esto es lo que así que es como luce.
Would you look up at your screen for a minute?
Si miraran allí en la pantalla por un momento.
They came from Cyrene and
vino
from Rome
de, vinieron
and from,
de Roma, de Egipto.
They came from the Parthian Empire and from Media.
Vinieron del imperio, vinieron de Media.
They came from Elam and from the Mesopotamia.
De Elam y de Mesopotamia.
They came from all of these places.
Vinieron de todos estos lugares.
Just take a minute and draw lines directly to Jerusalem.
Tome un momento y trace líneas directamente a Jerusalén.
It was a celebration.
Fue una celebración.
People were coming.
Las personas, el pueblo venía.
You see, when it's not God's purposes,
cuando no son los propósitos de Dios,
it's like Genesis.
Es como Génesis.
You remember what happened in Genesis?
¿Se recuerda lo que sucedió en Génesis?
When man wanted to do something,
cuando el hombre quería hacer algo,
and God was not pleased in that,
y Dios no se agradaba con ello.
What did God do?
¿Qué fue lo que hizo Dios?
He scattered.
Los esparció.
He scattered.
Los esparció.
Do you remember the Tower of Babel?
¿Se recuerda la Torre de Babel?
God scatters.
Dios los esparció.
When it's not unto him.
Cuando no es a él.
Man's purposes will always end in disaster.
Los propósitos del hombre siempre terminan en desastre.
But God gathers unto himself.
Pero Dios reúne a sí mismo.
All things that he would be glorified.
Todas las cosas para que él sea glorificado.
And it almost looks like this, that the curse is being reversed.
Y luce algo así, que la maldición ha sido reversible.
I don't know how you see this.
Yo no sé cómo usted ve esto.
But it's amazing to me.
Pero es sorprendente para mí.
To see how it is.
De ver cómo es.
That if you look in chapter 2 and in verse 1.
Que si usted mira en el capítulo 2, versículo 1.
There are two different reunions that are happening in chapter 2.
Hubieron dos reuniones diferentes que sucedieron en el capítulo 2.
Geographically speaking.
Hablando geográficamente.
This thing was happening.
Todo esto estaba sucediendo.
They had no idea what they were coming to.
Ellos no tenían idea a lo que ellos
they
iban a
thought they were coming to a regular feast that happened every
ellos
year.
Creían que venían a una fiesta regular que sucedía todos los
but God had planned something
pero Dios había planeado algo
that they had no idea.
Que ellos no tenían idea.
And something happened in chapter 2 in verses 1 and 2.
Y algo sucedió en el capítulo 2, versículo 1 y 2.
God's people had come together.
El pueblo de Dios se había reunido.
This is not this reunion.
Esto no es esta reunión.
This is a reunion of the saints.
Esto fue una reunión de los santos.
The apostles and the disciples.
Los apóstoles, los discípulos.
Apparently, probably about 120 of them that it speaks in the book of Luke.
Se nos hablan en el libro de Lucas que como 120.
That they came together.
Que ellos se habían reunido.
And they were in one accord.
Y ellos estaban en un acuerdo, en un mutuo acuerdo.
And verse 2.
Y en el versículo 2.
Speaks about a mighty rushing wind.
Habla de ese viento recio.
It speaks about the filling of the whole house.
Habla de que fue llena toda la casa.
It shows that they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Y comenzaron a hablar en lenguas como el Espíritu les daba que hablar.
You see, it's the acts of the Holy Spirit.
Y como ve, son los hechos del Espíritu Santo.
That's the platform of the book of Acts.
Esa es la plataforma del libro de los.
What is the theme of the book?
¿Cuál es el tema del libro?
First of all, it speaks of the spread of the gospel.
Primero que nada, habla de la proclamación del evangelio.
That spread, from Jerusalem to Rome.
La expansión que fue de Jerusalén hasta Roma.
Well, that's what we will see geographically.
Esto es lo que vemos geográficamente.
But spiritually,
pero espiritualmente,
we're going to see the huge expansion to the ends of the world.
Vamos a ver la expansión tan grande hasta el fin de la tierra.
Would you look with me in Acts chapter 8?
Si pueden mirar conmigo en el capítulo 8 de los Hechos.
You must have this underlined in your Bible, I'm sure.
Tiene que tener esto subrayado en su Biblia, estoy seguro.
Because there's a word here.
Porque hay una palabra aquí.
There was a great persecution.
Hubo una gran persecución.
No, that's not what we have underlined.
No, eso no es lo que tenemos subrayado.
We try to ignore that part.
Nosotros tratamos de ignorar.
Because it says that it arose against the church.
Porque dice que fue contra la iglesia.
So we really don't want to know about that.
No quiero, verdaderamente nosotros no queremos saber de eso.
But talk to me about fruit and I want to hear.
Pero hábleme de fruto y quiero oír.
Talk to me about fruit and much fruit.
Hábleme de fruto y mucho fruto.
You know, I go through the grocery store and I shop.
Yo voy a través del supermercado y yo compro.
And it's funny how Publix is set up.
Y es cómico como Publix está.
But they have all the canned items first.
Tienen todas las laterías primero.
And then they have the boxed items.
Entonces tienen los que están en caja.
And I just kind of do my shopping.
Yo hago mi compra.
But every time that I get to the fruit section.
Pero cada vez que yo llego a la sección de la fruta.
I just smile.
Yo me sonrío.
It's like, it's so fresh.
Es tan fresco.
Right? Talk to me about fruit.
Hábleme de fruta.
Look the word that's here.
Mira la palabra que está aquí.
It says, and they who were at Jerusalem,
y ellos que estaban en Jerusalén,
they were all scattered.
Y todos fueron esparcidos.
Do you know what that word scattered means?
¿Sabe lo que quiere decir esa palabra esparcido?
It's the same word,
es la misma palabra,
that is used every time it speaks about scattering seed.
Que es la misma palabra que se usa para tirar la semilla.
So that something will grow.
Para que algo crezca.
It's not just sending them away.
No era solamente enviándolos.
It's not sending them to their room on time out.
Ni era enviarlos a su habitación para que estuvieran fuera.
It's not get out of my face, I don't want to see you.
No era aquello, sal de mi rostro, no quiero verles a ustedes.
It was scattering them.
Estaban siendo esparcidos.
Planting them.
Plantándoles.
That they would give fruit.
Para que ellos pudieran producir fruto.
That's the word.
Esa es la palabra.
In Acts chapter 8.
En el capítulo 8 de los Hechos.
Brethren, wherever the Lord might have you.
Y hermano, donde el Señor le tenga a usted.
Wherever the Lord is pleased to have you today.
Donde el Señor le agrade tenerle a usted hoy.
And I know we say, Lord, just take me from this place.
Y nosotros le decimos, Señor, sácame de este lugar.
Lord, I'm so tired of this.
Señor, estoy tan cansado de esto.
If the Lord is pleased to place you there.
Si le place el Señor ponerte
it's
ahí,
that there would be fruit for his glory.
Habrá de haber fruto para su gloria.
You see, it also speaks about the growth of the early church.
También habla acerca del crecimiento de la iglesia primitiva.
Here's the word.
Aquí está la palabra.
In chapter 1 and verse 14, and you don't have to turn there.
En capítulo 1, versículo 14, no tiene que buscarlo.
We've already read it.
Ya lo leímos.
They were in one accord.
Ellos estaban en un acuerdo.
Do you know that is 11 times in the book of Acts?
Eso está 11 veces en el libro de los
in one accord.
Unánime.
Do you know what those words mean?
¿Sabe lo que quiere decir esa palabra?
In the original,
en el original,
it comes from two words.
Viene de dos palabras.
Same.
Mismo.
And mind.
Y mente.
And putting those two words together, you have in one accord.
Poner esas dos, en esas dos palabras juntas, tienen una misma mente.
It reminds me of Philippians chapter 2.
Me recuerda Filipenses capítulo 2.
Let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus.
Que esta mente que estaba en Cristo Jesús esté en ustedes.
It also reminds me of this passage in Romans chapter 15.
También me recuerda este pasaje de Romanos capítulo 15.
Let's read it together in Spanish.
Vamos a leerlo todo en español.
Pero el Dios de la paciencia y de la consolación os dé entre vosotros un mismo sentir, según Cristo Jesús, para que unánimes, a una sola voz, glorifiquemos a Dios y Padre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo. You see, that is the purpose that the Lord has.
Y ese es el propósito que tiene.
The book of Acts, it's a book of history.
El libro de los Hechos es un libro de historia.
Without the book of Acts,
sin el libro de los Hechos,
the epistles would be so difficult to understand.
Las epístolas serían tan difíciles de entender.
There's no context.
No hay contexto.
There's no beginning.
No hay comienzo.
We wouldn't understand it.
No lo hubiésemos entendido.
But it links the gospels with the epistles.
Pero enlaza los evangelios con las epístolas.
It links the life of Christ on earth.
Enlaza la vida de Cristo en la tierra.
That's the gospels. That's the gospel.
Ese es el evangelio.
The life of Christ on earth.
La vida de Cristo en la tierra.
To the life of Christ in the church.
A la vida de Cristo en la iglesia.
That's the epistles.
Y esas son las epístolas.
The life of Christ in us.
La vida de Cristo en nosotros.
You see, the book of Acts.
Como ve, el libro de los Hechos.
Is descriptive.
Es descriptivo.
But it's not prescriptive.
Es descriptivo. No prescriptivo.
When I saw this written by a commentary, in a commentary, I thought that is so absolutely precise.
Cuando yo vi esto en un comentario, dijo, esto es absolutamente preciso.
And then I saw it repeated in various commentaries.
Y lo vi repetido en diferentes comentarios.
It is descriptive.
Es descriptivo.
In other words, it states history.
En otras palabras, se mantiene historia.
It speaks about things that happened in the church.
Habla de las cosas que sucedieron en la iglesia.
But it doesn't necessarily tell us.
Pero necesariamente no nos dice
if it was right or wrong.
Que estaba bien o si estaba mal.
It doesn't necessarily teach us.
Necesariamente no nos enseña.
It informs us.
Nos informa.
And then linked to the epistles,
y cuando se enlaza con las epístolas,
we understand.
Entendemos.
What is sown,
lo que fue plantado,
is what will be reaped.
Es lo que será recogido.
What is evil sown,
lo que se planta para mal,
evil will be reaped.
Será el mal será.
What is good sown?
Lo que se siembra para lo bueno.
There will be good for his glory.
Va a haber aquello que es bueno para su gloria.
An example of this.
Un ejemplo de esto.
12 disciples.
12 discípulos.
Now down to 11.
Ahora 11.
Judas.
Judas.
Oh no.
Oh no.
We're missing somebody.
Nos falta alguien.
We've always been 12.
Siempre hemos sido 12.
We need to be 12.
Necesitamos ser 12.
It feels good to be 12.
Se siente muy bien para ser 12.
It should be 12.
Debemos ser 12.
Let's pray.
Oremos.
Pray, 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 pray.
Oramos, oramos, oramos.
And after praying,
y después de haber orado,
you're it.
Tú eres. Matías.
Descriptive.
Descriptivo.
And nothing else was said.
Pero más nada fue dicho.
You want to keep reading and saying, was that good or bad? Was that good or bad? Was that good or bad?
Continuar leyendo y decir, pero eso fue malo o bueno, pero eso fue malo o bueno.
Descriptive.
Descriptivo.
But not prescriptive.
Pero no prescriptivo.
But you look back.
Pero cuando usted mira,
and as you continue reading forward,
y cuando usted continúa leyendo hacia adelante,
do you read of Matthias anywhere else in the scripture?
¿Lee usted acerca de Matías en algún otro lugar?
Here's another one.
Aquí está otra.
This one I love.
Y me encanta esta.
There was a problem that happened in the church.
Hubo un problema que sucedió en la iglesia.
Not a little problem either.
Y no fue un problema pequeñito.
Look at chapter 7.
Miren el capítulo 7.
I'm sorry, chapter 6.
Capítulo 6.
And in verse 1.
Y en el versículo 1.
You know how bad church problems are?
¿Sabe cuán malos son los problemas en la iglesia?
They're huge.
Son bien grandes.
Yeah, huge.
Son grandes.
When you have a church problem,
cuando usted tiene un problema en la iglesia,
okay, so you have a problem at work, right?
Okay, usted tiene un problema en el trabajo.
And then it's over.
Y ya pasó.
Everybody needs their job.
Todo el mundo necesita su trabajo.
You have a problem at home?
Tiene un problema en la casa.
And then it's over.
Y ya se terminó.
We're family.
Somos familia.
You have a problem in church?
Tiene un problema en la iglesia.
Disaster.
Desastre.
Disaster.
Desastre.
And in chapter 6,
y en el capítulo 6,
and in verse 1,
y en el versículo 1,
there was a complaint.
Hubieron quejas.
With good reason, the scripture says, do everything without murmuring or complaining.
Dice la palabra con buena razón que hacerlo todo sin quejarse.
That in the church, that in the body of Christ, there should be no murmuring or complaining.
En la iglesia, en el cuerpo de Cristo, no debería haber ninguna murmuración.
There's no room for that.
No hay lugar para él.
And if you notice who it came from,
y si usted nota de dónde salió,
I just encourage you.
Yo le aliento.
That you would put by the Hellenists. Do you see the Hellenists right there?
Que usted donde dice por los helenistas.
Would you circle that or just keep a mental note of that?
Pongo una notica ahí.
And go back and read about other parts of Scripture where it talks about the Hellenists.
Y vaya y mira en otra parte de la Escritura donde habla de los helenistas, los griegos.
They were in the body of Christ.
Estaba en el cuerpo de Cristo.
And they were complaining that they didn't have enough.
Y estaban quejándose de que no tenían suficiente.
Because their widows were neglected.
Porque dice aquí que sus viudas eran desatendidas.
They weren't getting enough.
Ellos no estaban recibiendo suficiente.
They were throwing a temper tantrum.
Estaban teniendo una perreta, una pataleta.
I'm mad at you. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to do it well enough.
Ustedes no saben cómo lo van a hacer. Ustedes no saben cómo hacerlo bien.
So if you read,
así que si usted lee,
look at verse 12.
Miren el versículo 12.
Let's do something.
Hagamos algo.
Let's do something big.
Vamos a hacer algo grande.
Let's do something spiritual.
Hagamos algo espiritual.
Let's get something done.
Vamos a llevar a cabo algo.
There's a complaint here.
Hay una queja.
There's a problem here.
Aquí hay un problema.
Now this sounds really spiritual, brethren.
Esto suena bien espiritual, hermano.
In fact, it says in verse 2,
dice en el versículo 2,
that they said it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.
No es justo que nosotros dejemos la palabra de Dios para servir a las mesas.
That sounds good, right?
Y eso suena muy bien.
Spiritual, right?
Espiritual, ¿verdad?
Beautiful, right?
Hermoso, ¿verdad?
Amen.
Amén.
Look at verse 3.
Miren el versículo 3.
Now let's do something.
Ahora hagamos algo.
Let's find somebody.
Buscar.
Among you, seven men.
hermanos, de entre vosotros, siete varones.
After all, seven is a beautiful number.
Después de todo, el número siete es un número muy...
Seven.
Siete.
It's the perfect number.
Es el número perfecto.
Let our faith is to grow in proportion from one moment to another. My faith, my trust, my confidence in the Lord is to be growing. And then it even says in the scriptures in Psalm chapter 84 that the walk of the believer is to be from strength to strength. That's the walk of the believer. But in 1 Kings chapter 11, you see a different picture. You see a backward motion. And in fact, we're seeing it in the life of Solomon. And recently... But do you remember saying, well, let me go up the slide this way? And as you go up the slide and you realize that maybe it's a little bit too loud. Can we just bring it down some? As we're just going up that slide, all of a sudden we tumble and we find ourselves going backwards head first. And there's this passage in 1 Kings chapter 11. It's the life of Solomon, brethren, and God had chosen Solomon. But in verse 9, something happens in his life. And in fact, you can start reading in verse 3 of chapter 11. Oh, okay, go to verse 1. But King Solomon loved, we just sang, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And it says, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. And then it continues to name the different women. And in verse 3 it says, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. And that word turned away, when you study the word, it means a backward motion took place. He was going forward, and that with that same impulse that he was going forward, then he started going backwards, if you can understand that. With the same inertia that he was going forward, all of a sudden his life went backward. Well, look in verse 9 of the same chapter. So the Lord became angry with Solomon. Why? Because his heart had turned. Again, that backward motion had turned from the Lord. The backsliding of the believer. Solomon was not a king of this world. He was a king that was chosen by God. He was a believer. In the greatest sense of the word, Solomon was born and predestined by God as a vessel for his glory. God had chosen Solomon. I mean, his parents, if you remember the beginnings of Solomon, do you remember who Solomon's mother was? Bathsheba, that's right. His parents had other ideas, but it was God who said, this one I've chosen for myself. And then Solomon, with the same moment that he said, my heart is going after the Lord to honor the Lord, to bring glory to his name, there came a point in Solomon's life that he turned. And with the same desire that he had towards the Lord, that same impulse, he turned away. Well, look at Psalm. I'm just going to walk you through the scriptures for a minute, and I'm going to do it somewhat in the order that the books are to help us through. Psalm chapter 125. Psalm 125 and in verse 5. This whole passage, this whole psalm is speaking about God's goodness to those who follow hard after God, to those whose devotion is strong after the Lord. But in contrast, in verse 5, you read something at the very end of this chapter, in verse 5, and it says this, as for such as turn aside to their crooked ways. In other words, at one time they were in the way, and then at another time they turn aside to crooked ways. There's a backsliding there. The Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. That word, turn aside. Keep going with me. Go to the book of John. And in chapter 6, strong passage, brethren. It speaks of the followers of the Lord. John chapter 6 and in verse 60. We've seen this passage before. Therefore, many of his disciples, you know the word disciples means follower? It means one who follows to learn. It's an apprentice. It's one who's coming after the master to be taught. Many of his disciples, followers, learners, apprentices, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. And then in verse 61, there's the word complain. Not that any of us do this, but these disciples complained. They complained, and why did they complain? Because even the Lord knew their hearts and said, does this offend you? I have a few words underlined in this passage. One of those words is hard. Another word is complained, and another word is offend. Because when we are offended by what God speaks to our life, we are quickly going to veer from His ways. Have you ever sensed the Holy Spirit just convicting you, and immediately your guard goes up? That's taking offense to the Word of God. That's not being soft and pliable and moldable in the hands of the Lord. The scripture says when the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, you know what David did? When his heart was convicted, he fell on his face before God. But we take offense to God's word. And as a result, we're not going from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. We start to veer away. And it's so subtle that we don't even realize it. In verse 64, it says, there are some of you who do not believe. At the end of verse 64, it says, there's a betrayal that's taking place. And then look in verse 66, brethren. From that time, many of his disciples, what did they do? They went back. That word went back is exactly the word of backsliding. With the same inertia that they went forward, with the same impulse that they went forward, that same, they didn't just softly go back. They turned back with that same energy. They turned away from the Lord, and it says that they walked with Him no more. Would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 1? Galatians chapter 1 is the Apostle Paul is speaking to a group of believers and saying, anybody remember the adjective that Paul gave to the Galatians? Oh, foolish Galatians. Oh, foolish believers. Why would he say that? Because they had been taught. They had received the word of truth. They had taken hold of it. They had grasped it. They had understood it. They had said, yes, Lord. They had followed. They had become disciples. And then all of a sudden, in verse 6, look what happens of chapter 1. I marvel that you are what? Turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. With the same desire that you believed, with that same desire you're turning away. With the same conviction that you came after the Lord, with that same conviction you're going into another gospel. I don't know how you're reading these passages as we're going through, but you would say, well, Solomon had 1,000 wives and I don't. So that's not going to happen to me. And the psalmist, well, they had crooked ways and my ways aren't that crooked. And in John, those were the disciples of that day, and they had a lot of pressures on them. I don't have that kind of pressure. I have more love for the Lord than they do. And these Galatians, well, something must have been up with them. I'm not turning to a different gospel. Look in chapter 3 of this same book, and in verse 1, there you go, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell on you? That's what that word means. Isn't that an awesome word? Paul said, Galatian believers, who's come up to you to kind of hypnotize you, to cast a spell on you? Who has so quickly beguiled you, bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, but whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? How could you turn away so quickly? How could you slip back? How could you fall back? How could you turn back? I think about these dear, beloved brethren that I mentioned at the beginning of the service, and I just say, how could it happen? How could it be? First Timothy in chapter 1. You just keep going in your scriptures and that towards Revelation we're walking. First Timothy chapter 1. And in verse 19, anybody ever been on a boat before? Anybody ever take a cruise before? Normally, when you're getting to the cruise, there's a word that continuously is coming up in its destination. Destination, destination, destination. And you're following the signs to your destination. Destination Bahamas. Destination, the islands, destination, and you're just having this glorious experience of saying, I'm going there. And as you get on the boat, and as you hear the motors rev, and you're going out, and you're just experiencing the wind in your face because you're taking flight, you're taking this cruise, you're ready to go, and you're getting there, and all of a sudden you start feeling the tremor. No, that hasn't happened to you, right? Chapter 1 and in verse 19. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having what? Rejected. What happened? Concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. There have been some who have believed, and in their process of walking and in their process of growing, for one reason or another, as we've been seeing, they become shipwrecked in the faith. I don't think anyone plans a shipwreck. I don't think anybody plans. Can I just go into some things? They don't plan a divorce. I don't think anybody marries thinking about a divorce. I don't think anybody plans to get sick. I don't think anybody plans disappointment. I don't think anybody plans discouragement. I don't think anybody plans to get beguiled. I don't think anybody plans the frustrations that we have in this life. I don't think anybody plans to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then to become shipwrecked in the faith. But the scriptures, time and time again, there are lives throughout scriptures that are talking to us and warning us, it happens. It's so real. It's so tangible. How could you ignore it? How could we take this salvation so lightly and say, another passage in chapter 5 of this same book of 1 Timothy, the same letter, chapter 5. And in verse 11, Paul is telling Timothy something. Be careful with the group of people that are in your midst. They have tremendous need. Something's going on in their lives. Be careful with them. So great is their need that they are going to become one of the dangerous spots of the local church. You know who it's talking about? Verse 11, look at it. But refuse the younger widows. What? You talk to me about a widow and immediately, you know, my heart breaks for them. Refuse the younger widows, for they have grown, what? Wanton, against Christ. The younger rebels have done what? They began to rebel. That's what that word means. They began to rebel against Christ. How could young ladies in need rebel against Christ? Well, it says it. Because they desire to marry. So much is their desire to marry that they've rebelled against Christ. And look what it says there in verse 12. They've cast off their first faith. They've turned back from their first faith because of their need to marry. Having condemnation because they cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle. They're sitting around doing nothing. They're wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but they become gossips and busybodies. These are strong words. Saying things that they ought not to say. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside to do what? To look for a husband? What does it say there? They've turned aside after Satan. Speaking about people within the church of Christ and their whole motive, their whole goal, their whole understanding in life has changed. Instead of going from strength to strength and glory to glory and faith to faith, they've turned aside after Satan. No, it's not even after a man. It's after Satan. Those are strong words, brethren. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Thank you for being patient with me as I take you to these passages. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 9, it says, be diligent to come to me quickly. Why are we to be diligent before the Lord? Verse 10, for Demas has forsaken me. Paul was saying, the one that was walking closest with me right now, the one that was serving the Lord with me, he wasn't diligent. He wasn't careful. That's what that word diligent means. He wasn't on his guard. He wasn't awake. He fell asleep. He looked backwards. He didn't keep his eye on the goal. For Demas has forsaken me. Why? Because he loved this present world. Do you remember Revelation? And I won't take you there because you know the passage in chapter 2. The church in Ephesus. This was a church who had grown in Christ. They'd grown in the faith. They were being used by the Lord. They were known for their discernment. They were known for their service unto the Lord. And at one point the Lord says, but I have something against you. You've left your first love. And it's the same word that we see throughout scriptures. You've turned back from your first love. How much do you have to, I'm just going to use this word for a minute. How much do you have to feel to be in love, brethren? How much do you give in your devotion for when you are in love? Isn't it all of it? Your thoughts. You know, every moment of your day is planned around that love, that passion. And leaving your first love, the word backsliding in Scripture is this word of turning away with the same passion that you were going forward, you're going backwards. It's not even a slipping like it shows here. It's almost a voluntary move. The backslidings of a believer. And as you consider that word backsliding today, it's seen, and we just saw all these scriptures, and this is how it's defined biblically. It's defined as a turning away from God. Backsliding is turning to evil. Backsliding, it's a turning to another gospel, another message. Turning to Satan. Turning back to the world. Back again with this volition to follow after the things of this world and after the enemy of our souls. It's turning away from my first love. That's backsliding. Can I show you a clip this morning? Just a few minutes. I know we've seen a lot of scriptures, but just this is a, you may have heard of him before. He is an apologetic, and he comes in the name of the Lord to speak of the defense of the gospel and how it is that that there are lives who are so in need of understanding where they're at and why they have moved to the place that they've moved.
He abandoned the faith that had once been the cornerstone of his life. I was fascinated by his story, so in 1999 I called him in his home in Toronto. I remember that he answered the phone with his very rich, deliberate voice. I told him that I was a writer and I wanted to interview him about the reasons he had for rejecting God. And he said, well, I'm not doing very well physically, but yes, if you'd like to come up to Canada, I'd be glad to talk with you. So I was on my way the very next morning. When I met him at his apartment, he looked weak and frail. At first, I didn't think he'd have the strength to talk for more than a few minutes, but he insisted that I stay. He was very cordial, very kind, and I liked him immediately. I could sense that his mind was sharp, and he really wanted to tell me his story. He reminisced for a while about his years in the ministry and his friendship with Billy Graham. It was obvious to me that their relationship was still very important to him. And then, after a few minutes, he turned the conversation to his reasons for rejecting Christianity. He described several common objections, and he had a long list. But a couple of things really stood out. He looked me right in the eye and asked two rhetorical questions. In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? Are we actually supposed to believe that only the Christians have it right? And then, with even more intensity, he asked, how could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering? He wasn't looking for a response. He just wanted me to understand these issues that had troubled him for almost 50 years. We talked for another hour, and then I said goodbye. As I drove back to Chicago, I thought about his story all the way home. He was on his way to becoming one of the greatest evangelists of the 20th century, but his faith was destroyed by doubts that I'd struggle with myself. I wish I could have given him some satisfying answers. I really wanted to help him. And I also wanted to know that my own faith could stand up to the tough questions that had ruined his. You know, I think that's the moment I decided to launch another investigation.
You would see that movie. It's a movie on apologetics. And how interesting that the former evangelist who worked with Billy Graham, and really he was not his co-worker, they were, in reality, Billy Graham even followed after this gentleman. He took the primary place at the pulpit, and Billy Graham would come after and still be used. And as time went on, the enemy darted this man in his heart with unbelief. And he walked away from the faith. And in this interview, he had questions, but he didn't have the answers to his own questions. Did you realize that? And that's what doubt is all about. Doubt is just a fog. In whom do you believe? And is your faith from faith to faith? From strength to strength and from glory to glory? Or are you just along for the ride? Where do we stand in Christ? Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2? Can a believer fall away? Based on all of the passages that we've been seeing so far this morning, and the run that we made from Genesis to Revelation, can a believer fall away? Can you? Can I fall away? Proverbs chapter 2, there's a section here beginning in verse 10 that we'd like to give our hearts to this morning and just open and say, Lord, what do you desire to speak to my life today? Brethren, we must recognize our fragility. At the same time, we must recognize that the Scripture gives us these lives and they're pointed out to recognize our fragility. Have you ever read a book of all of the women of the Scriptures or all of the men of the Scriptures and it just kind of points out the characters of each Scripture? And that's terrific. That's wonderful. But it's not so that we would somehow glorify Moses or that we would glorify Abraham or that we would glorify Ruth or that we would glorify Paul. They had their weaknesses. There's not one vessel in Scripture that you could say did not have their weakness. But it's to point out to the strength and the endurance and the firm foundation that is our God. But the weakness of man is very evident. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10 says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, we know that wisdom is Christ Himself. When there's been that opening of our heart to wisdom, what do you do? Discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. When wisdom knocks at the door of your heart and you open up your life and in comes that understanding, that is what keeps you, brethren, of who the Lord is. Notice that it doesn't say that doubt will keep you. Notice that it doesn't say that idleness will keep you, that a sense of just attending church will keep you. There is an understanding that only comes from the Lord Himself that will keep us. Now look what it says in verse 12. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who what? Leave. Again, it talks about that abandonment, that departing from. Who leave the paths of uprightness. Question, can a believer walk away? Can a believer fall away? Yes. From those who depart the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, there's a volition there, there's a desire that's there. Verse 14, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth. Again, there's that backsliding, forsaking, and who forgets the covenant of her God. Can a believer fall away? The answer is yes. And it even says to who they fall away to. This evil world is crooked paths. We are fragile. Is there a hearty amen that comes out of our mouths, brethren? I am fragile. We must recognize our fragility. Verse 18, from her house leads down to death. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the path of life. In other words, it's not like turning away and all of a sudden getting up, shaking off the dust and coming back again. There is a point in which there is no return in this backsliding. There is a point. Is that not shakening in your life, brethren? Isn't that something that causes you that if you're not going from faith to faith, glory to glory, strength to strength, doesn't that take you from and just say, Lord, don't let me get to that point? I'm reminded of that passage that the Lord spoke to me so clearly years ago in a time that my heart was far from the Lord and I was just following my own ways. I was turning back from the Lord. And the Lord so clearly showed me that passage when He gave the people of Israel to their wickedness. He gave them over to a reprobate mind, is what the Scripture says. They were so desire, instead of following after the Lord, they turned from the Lord with such a desire, and they followed after idols, and they followed after the ways of the world, that finally, the Lord who had been calling and then said, yes, Lord, we'll follow. No, but now we're going to do this. And they did this continual seesaw. Finally, they were just pursuing evil, and the Lord said, I give you over to it. You are cast away from my presence. And this plea came before the Lord. Lord, don't let me go. And it was that same plea that it did not really come from me, but it came from the Holy Spirit in my life. And it was that same desire that caused me in God, in the name of the Lord, just to turn full-heartedly and seek after the Lord only because of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful that today I can say glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith, because I know what it means to walk away with the same desire that I was walking forward to walk away. What a place that is, brethren. We are easily moved. Ezekiel chapter 18. We are easily tossed. We are easily unstable because we are weak and we are fragile. And yet the Lord, nor His way, nor His salvation is fragile. He is the firm foundation. He is the solid rock. He is the foundation that cannot be moved. Our God is pure and He's faithful is His name. He's true. There's no falsehood in Him. There's no weakness or fragility in our God. And so all of a sudden, the people of Israel come out before the Lord and they place their plea before God. Almost as though lifting their fists to the Lord and saying, well, look! Look at the state in which we're in, Lord! We're falling away and we're given to a reprobate mind. We're in this position because you have not been faithful. Because you have not been good. Forever you are faithful. Didn't we sing it today? Forever you are strong. And we sing those words. We delight in the word. We say, yes, Lord, you are faithful. Look at what the scripture says in Ezekiel chapter 18. The Lord responds to this. And in verse 24, he says, but when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? That's a question. All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die. Now you say, hold on one second. You mean all that time that I followed after the Lord, that I believed in Christ Jesus, that I've been walking in, that I attended church and that I learned and that I was faithful and all of that because I did respond. And now, yeah, I'm not in a good place. Isn't that the way we say it? Yeah, well, maybe I'm not where I should be. Yeah, well, maybe I'm, you know, the Lord does know my heart and maybe of that I'm going to die? Watch. Verse 25, yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. That's not fair, Lord. That's not fair, God. How could you do that to me? Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he has committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he commits. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? He doesn't stop there. Keep reading with me till the end of the chapter. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Perhaps you want to underline those words. Iniquity will be your ruin if you don't repent. What will be your ruin? Iniquity, sin, abominations, a desire after the crooked way. Verse 31, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die? Listen to how the Lord is pleading with us. Why should you die? Why do you persist in what is death? O house of Israel, for I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. Turn and live. Do you hear the Holy Spirit just prompting your life? Turn and live. I have found myself praying for this couple that I speak to you of and just begging, pleading the Lord, standing as an advocate before the Lord for these brethren, interceding for them and saying, Lord, just say your word, turn and live, and it will be. If you said, let there be light, and there was light, in the lives of these who have fallen away from you, say it, Lord, turn and live, and it will be. And in the same way for your life, for my fragility, Lord, that we would just turn to you and that we would live. Why would I backslide? Why would I backslide? What would cause for my heart to backslide? You don't need to read these passages. I'll just state them for you for a lack of time. But did you know that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verses 9 and 10, it says that he who is blind and cannot see afar off, forgetting that he has been cleansed, he falls. The reason that one would even begin to fall backwards, to move backwards, is because we forget, we take for granted the great salvation of the Lord in our life. And that would cause for us to move backwards. It's when our weakness shows that we don't know the will of God. It's such a scary thing, brethren, for us to say, but I don't know what God's will is. Do you know how scary that is? I don't know what God's will in my life is. Do you know how real God's will is for your life? God's will is that you would be found in Christ. That is His will. God's will is that you would present yourself a sacrifice before Him, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. That's God's will. God does not focus in on you on the daily moments of every day before you understand the big picture. The big picture is that you would be in Christ, and once you understand that, the smaller picture begins to take focus. But He allows for you to see your life in the light of eternity. It's not about what house you're going to buy, and it's not about who you're going to marry, and it's not about how many kids you're going to have, and it's not about what you're going to wear tomorrow. It's not about your vocation tomorrow. It's about being in Him and about your heart belonging to Him. That's the will of God for your life. And when we begin to question God's will for our life, we are saying, I don't trust. I don't get it. And because I don't get it, I'm looking elsewhere. A believer needs to know what God's will for their life is, and it is to be found in Him. And let that suffice. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. All the things that we give so much to, Christ says, the very first thing is your heart. Why would a believer backslide? The Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 12 that there is the father of lies and his name is Satan. And he casts darts on the believers, these darts of unbelief. And it says, beware, brethren. It doesn't say, oh, you of the world. Satan doesn't care about those in the world. He's already got them in his snare. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. That would cause what? A departing, a backsliding from the living God. What is it that would cause me to backslide? Even the worldly desires. This passage I would ask you to turn to. Luke chapter 17. The Gospel according to Luke. This passage, which is also in the Gospel of Matthew, these verses are critical for the life of the believer because it speaks about the time in which the last days, referred to also as the Great Tribulation, referred to as the time in which there will be a shaking, a major shaking. And as you see in verse 31, in that day, I'm in Luke chapter 17, in that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, what are you supposed to do? Incidentally, in those times there was a housetop because for security reasons you would go up to the housetop. As though the flood was rising, you'd go up to the housetop. In the day of tribulation, they would not go down to the basement. They wouldn't go into a tornado when you go down to. You wouldn't go down into the shelter, you would go up to your housetop. And that's where you would seek refuge. In that day, if you are on your housetop, what do you do on your housetop, brethren? When there's persecution, where do your eyes go? Do they go up or down? In that day that you're on your housetop, that your eyes are on the Lord, do not worry about your goods, it says. Do not come down and take them away. Don't focus on your goods. Don't think about your possessions. Look what it says in the next statement. It says, and likewise, one who is in the field. In other words, because of the tribulation, you go running after your help. You're running to help. Do not do what? If you're in the field, do not let him turn back. And that's the verse, that's the word again of backsliding. And then look at verse 32, one of the shortest scriptures in the Bible. Jesus wept when. But verse 32 is the second shortest verse in the Bible. What does it say? Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. What did Lot's wife do? They were in the midst of a place that God was going to rain fire on. He was going to bring destruction because it represented every abomination unto God. And God called Lot and his family, ones who had chosen that place. It was not God's will. They chose that place. Lot had walked away from God's will from his life. Lot had backslidden and had gone to a place that would only please himself. As a result, he and his wife and his daughters, his entire household, were in a terrible danger. The Lord called them out only by God's mercy. Who had interceded for Lot? Does anybody remember? Abraham sat there interceding. Lord, Lord. The angel of the Lord went and brought out Lot and his wife and his daughters. And as they walked out back to the land that God had promised his people, what happened to this one, Lot's wife? She turned around, and God had already said, don't turn around. Don't look back. Look forward. And in that moment, she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. To this day, the scripture says, to this day, as though saying she was given to her reprobate mind. The danger of backsliding, the danger of not being aware of the salvation that the Lord has called us to, brethren, it's huge. And it's so subtle that it takes place in our life. The results. One more, I'm sorry. The lack of spiritual perception. No, we already saw this. I don't know why it keeps going back. The results of backsliding is that God is displeased. It says in Psalm chapter 78, and you don't need to read it, but it says, and they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and they turned back and dealt unfaithfully with the Lord. When God heard this, He was wroth, and He greatly abhorred or hated Israel. What a tremendous word that is. He despised Israel. Have you seen that new commercial from AT&T UVerse? Can't stand it. It's about two parents who are sitting, and their two children are sitting in front of them, and the whole thing is about who they love more. Okay, on the count of three, let's say who you love more, and they both call out Jennifer's name, I think it is, while the boy is just kind of sitting there and he's looking back like, what about me? And it's all about the uncanny things that could possibly happen in the family, and of course that would never happen, wink, wink. Look in Genesis and you'll see a story that's very much like that, when parents chose favorites amongst their children, and the division that took place in that family. And how it is that, could it possibly be that God, who created us, we are His children, that we would displease God so much that He would despise us? It's the despising of even Satan himself. Because what we do is we choose, instead of choosing Him as our love, we choose the enemy of our life, and we thus are rejected. There is a punishment that takes place in our lives as a result of backsliding. If you've ever lived it, you know. You don't have to go to Numbers chapter 14, but you could read what it says. Rather than living victorious lives, God's people were stuck in this continual defeat. Numbers chapter 14, it defines defeat in God's people. Year after year, generation after generation, God's people were in defeat. Do you realize what it is that an entire 40 years living in the wilderness and then dying in the wilderness? Do you understand what that defeat is all about? Where there would be an entire generation that dies in the wilderness because of their backsliding, not living in any victory at all. Do you know what it means to have blessings withheld from your life, brethren? When no matter what you do, no matter how hard you pray, no matter how much you hope, no matter how much you cross your fingers, there are no blessings that are in your life. It's because God's hand of blessing has been removed because you've backslidden. Isaiah chapter 59 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have been hid. Have hidden His face from you, that He will not hear you. It's not a question that God can't, it's the question that God won't because of the backsliding. And lastly, and you know this passage very well, it's in Luke chapter 9, no man having put his hand to the plow is what? When he looks back, is worthy for the kingdom of heaven. No man having enjoyed and tasted of the salvation, it says in Hebrews, tasted of the salvation of the Lord, and then turning to the ways of the world, no man is worthy. And that state of unworthiness before the Lord, what is the only thing that makes us worthy, brethren? The only thing that makes us worthy? Christ. What is the only thing that gives us access to the presence of God? Jesus Christ. And when I find myself out of Christ Jesus, I'm back in that state of unworthiness. I'm back in that state of unable to approach the Lord. Oh, I know His name, just like the people of Israel knew His name. I know His ways. I know His word. I know the gimmicks behind Christianity. But to be in Christ, I am so far from it. And I am in a state of unworthiness. And only the Lord and I know it. Because I could play the show in front of everybody else, but my heart is far from God. I am so thankful that in the Lord and only in the Lord is there hope. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as we close this morning? This hope, trust in the Lord, for there is hope in the Lord, the Scripture says. Trust in the Lord and hope in the Lord. This hope is not luck that we speak of. This hope is a victorious trust that we can have in the Lord. It defines the Christian walk. We trust in Him, we hope in Him, because there is victory in Him. Can I remind you, brethren, that in 1 Samuel, it was the Lord, David who went before the Lord. I'm sorry, 2 Samuel chapter 1. There's a song that David began to sing to the Lord, and he said this. He said three times, "Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Where is the beauty of Israel? How the mighty have fallen. Oh, how the mighty have fallen." And in that plea, in that song before the Lord, it was speaking about the beauty of Israel having fallen because lives had turned away from the Lord. I'm so thankful that there is hope in the Lord. When I find myself in a place that is so backslidden from what He desires, that we just turn back towards Him with all of our hearts, and He forgives and He is ready to save. But what must I do today? I must remember that I am to seek the Lord daily with a sincerity. Continually, daily with a sincerity. Not just think about doing it, but do it. Not just think about what it means to seek the Lord, but to seek the Lord with all of my heart. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 12, the Scripture says, "Therefore let who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." We are to take heed. We are to beware. We are to be on our guard. We are to understand our fragility and that He alone is strong, and in Him we can be victorious. We are not to take this Christian walk lightly, brethren. We are to take heed. We are to be diligent, as we read before. And as we close, would you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. How can we live a victorious life in Christ, going from strength to strength, faith to faith, glory to glory? 2 Peter in chapter 1 says it clearly. Verse 9. "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted." What things? Read them, brethren. Read in verse 5. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. He who lacks these things are short-sighted. He's empty. He's unable to see. He's blinded. He has no vision. He has no perception. But the Scripture continues to say, back in verse 9, "even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Verse 10, "therefore, brethren, be even more," what? "Diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall." You will never stumble. Remember your vocation. Remember your duty. I was just at college with two of my children on Friday, I believe it was, and I saw Jonathan and Mickey there, and I was watching the whole issue going on in our local college, and just knowing what my kids were there for. And I know education is important, brethren, but you know, my daughter came back the second day of college, and she said, "Mom, I was there, and the goodness, Mom, we were in math class." And the teacher in math class was saying, you know, that she didn't believe that the Bible was true. And it was just that she was placing it out there. And the Bible isn't true. We were in math class, Mom. I was there to learn math. And her faith since that moment has just been so challenged to say why she believes in what she believes. It is remembering your vocation and your duty and your vocation and your duty that you would be diligent in walking out your faith. When we take things lightly, we're going to fall. We're going to stumble. The enemy is going to have his way in our life. I pray that there's not one of us that years from now we're looking back as a congregation and we're praying the way that I'm praying for this couple that I'm praying for. I pray that we will all be moving from glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith in the Lord, recognizing that we are fragile, but that He is strong and that our hope solely rests in the Lord. Brethren, if there needs to be a turning in your life in any way today, would you turn towards the Lord? Would you say, "Yes, Lord, I turn towards You. With all of my heart, I turn toward You." That You would not give me over to a reprobate mind. Would you stand with me?